Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Foot Beer Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, how are we doing, buddy?
Doing well, James. Thank you so much for asking. It's a lovely Friday. We're a couple of days late on our recording. I do appreciate your hanging around, waiting for me to be ready here on this Friday. But who could be upset on a beautiful Friday like this? Looking forward to the weekend. And before we talk about football, I want to know how you are doing tonight, James.
Oh, I'm doing all right. We had a very busy day here in the Kemp household. We had spring cleaning. Kelsey took the day off. So we tore apart parts of the basement, tore apart the garage, and put it all back together. The garage looks a lot better, but the basement, it's not just the man cave anymore. It's now the man cave plus Kelsey's gaming PC and desk. So I have a roommate now down here. It was kind of funny. Kelsey can't brought it up at dinner the other day, and she was like, "Do you think that I should move my computer down here so that when I'm playing Minecraft, we're together?" I'm like, "You want to move in with me?" It's like we've been married for close to 5 years, and she just now asked to move in with me. It's shocking. It's a little much.
Well, I mean, but when we're all playing Minecraft and you're just kind of off in a hole somewhere and you don't want to be on the Discord together, someone needs to be able to talk to you and tell you to take a bed down into the mines so we don't get attacked by phantoms every second. So I'm down.
Yeah,
I'm down
for
this change.
I'm glad you're cool with it, because it was a lot of work for me. Trying to put my four monitors and my mixer and all this stuff back together, but it's cool. But we got some good football to talk to you about today. Today our main topic is coaches. So we're gonna highlight at the very least the big head coaching changes. We're gonna hit a good number of the coordinator changes too. But before we hit that, Dr. Stu, what do you drink tonight, my friend?
Well, I have something near and dear to your heart, something that you so kindly gifted to me on your way through. This was 2 weeks ago or so. You came through, and we all got together, the high school guys. This is Seamus's Fightin' Irish Stout, James. It's got a lovely logo of a nice red-bearded man in glasses and a very good-looking dog with him. You want to tell us a little bit about it? Anything about the brewing process?
I don't know how much of the brewing process I can get into, but I can say what it is. It is an Irish stout, originally intended to be a Guinness clone, but I do not have nearly the resources of Guinness to make an Irish stout, and also the hops were not exactly what I wanted them to be, so what you're going to get there, Stu, is something similar to Guinness, but probably a bit sweeter. And obviously it's not going to be on nitro, so it's that. And if it makes you sick, it's Indy's fault, not mine.
Absolutely so. Well, I'm excited to try it, and we need to know what you are drinking tonight, James.
All right. I promise I drink beers from other breweries, but it's another sturdy shelter for me today. I just happened to spend a lot of time at this brewery, and I just happened to have another one from them that we canned yesterday. This is from Sturdy Shelter Brewing, the Pulped Up New England Style Hazy IPA Galaxy. So their Pulped Up line is their hazy IPAs, and their Galaxy Pulped Up is, as you can probably imagine, the one that includes Galaxy hops. It is a 6.6 ABV beer, and I think this is a pretty nice one. It is light in color, showcasing the Galaxy, Nectarone, and I do not know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but Motuka hops. I think it's a fun one, but I also thought this one was appropriate given the fact that I was late to the recording today when me and Kelsing were watching the Artemis II crew splash down. So humans flying around in the galaxy and me tonight drinking a Galaxy. So, Stu, if you want to pop your beer in 3, 2, 1, along with all of our friends at home drinking beers. So, as I pour this one, let's take a look at the new head coaches in the NFL. This was a pretty wild year for coaching changes, not just because there were a lot of them, and I do think, I haven't checked my numbers on it, but it was a lot of head coaching changes, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There were something eight or nine?
Yeah, it was close to a third, I think, of the head coaches in the NFL who were changing this year. But some really high-profile ones, like old guard-type guys. We had Mike Tomlin resigned from the Steelers. We had John Harbaugh fired from the Ravens. And even, like, Mike McDaniel, who you can't call him an old guard guy, but he was kind of... Well,
he was well known.
I don't know if
he had his star. His star was shining for there for a little while.
Yeah, and then you had Kevin Stefanski, who was a former coach of the year. You had Sean McDermott, who took the Bills to a lot of success. Pete Carroll, who won a Super Bowl with not the team that he was coaching, and then seemed to be absolutely atrocious with the Raiders. But overall, there were a lot of guys who were there, achieved something, and now are no longer there. So let's take a look real quick. I'm just going to go down the line of the coaches who are there, and then I'm going to throw it over to Stu to pick one to start us talking about. So starting with the Atlanta Falcons, old coach was Raheem Morris, fired, replaced by former Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. Arizona Cardinals, former coach Jonathan Gannon, replaced by... Packers coaches Matt LaFleur's brother, Mike LaFleur. Baltimore Ravens fired John Harbaugh, replaced by Jesse Minter, who, by the way, Stu, do you know where he went to high school?
Did he go to high school at Ben Davis?
He actually went to high school in Yorktown, Indiana.
Oh, so close.
A graduate of our high school. That's one of ours.
Do I have to root for him now? He's a Tiger?
I'm gonna. He's a Tiger, man. And then you got Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott, relieved of duties, replaced by Joe Brady, who was an offensive quarter for the Bills. Cleveland Browns, Todd Monken is the new OC. He was with the Ravens before, replacing Kevin Stefanski. Indy has entered the studio, as you can hear. The Raiders fired Pete Carroll. Replacing Carroll is Clint Kubiak, fresh off of a Super Bowl championship as an offensive coordinator. Miami Dolphins fired Mike McDaniel, replacing him with Jeff Hafley, defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers. New York Giants replacing Brian Daboll with John Harbaugh, obviously head coach of the Ravens. Steelers firing Mike Tomlin, replacing him with, I did not think I would ever see Mike McCarthy back in the NFL, but here he is, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the last one, Tennessee Titans, replacing Brian Callahan with DC of the 49ers, Robert Saleh. So, Stu, start us off. Where do you want to get this conversation started?
Oh, I just want to pay my respects to some of these departed guys who did not immediately get other hiring jobs. People like Pete Carroll, thank God you're gone. That was horrible. That was atrocious. Brian Callahan.
That was embarrassing.
Also atrocious for the Titans. The Titans are rivals of the Colts, so I have to hate them on principle. But, I mean, I was celebrating that he was a head coach for the Titans, and now he's thankfully gone, so the organization doesn't just burn. Tomlin, perennially, just... Well, the meme is just they go 8-9, and first round exit of the playoffs. There's merit to that, but honestly, after 19 years, we're ready for some change. But the one that I want to start with, honestly, the one that I felt kind of icky about, and just be prepared for me to be pretty negative this episode, because a lot of these moves I do not care for. A lot of coaching in the NFL is just a revolving carousel of the same names with some storied track records, and the others are just like, why is Nathaniel Hackett still getting jobs? The one I want to start with is Sean McDermott being replaced by Joe Brady, because I really felt that McDermott was getting a lot of, in my opinion, unfair blame for how the Bills were unable to win a Super Bowl. They really, really should have made the Super Bowl this year. This was the best year they had, the best chance that they had, and for them to fall a little bit short was very, very disappointing. But I don't think the entirety of the blame is heaped on McDermott himself. A lot of it I place at the feet of the ownership, but the ownership went on to kind of scapegoat McDermott, get him out of town, and then they were, I think, riled up to get some of the biggest names for head coaching positions, the Harbaughs. I feel like Kubiak was one that they were interested in as well. And then when those names did not go to the Bills, they just kind of went, okay, well, let's just prop up an offensive coordinator that we already have. We'll just, you know, this is our fallback option. And I'm not super psyched about the direction the Bills are going. James, I don't know if you feel in any way similarly on that front there. What do you think about that?
No, overall, I'm basically in the same camp as you. I feel like when you had so many high-profile guys who were in the running, Joe Brady, I mean, did he achieve things in Buffalo? Sure, but it's part of the Sean McDermott system. Like, he's not a guy who, I think, set himself really apart as being a particularly inventive or impressive offensive coordinator. And like you said, this kind of feels like it kind of feels like a last ditch thing, not the guy who they wanted to have there. And especially with some of the names who were getting head coaching jobs here, it feels like a step back. And I don't know if I'm going to say right away that we're going to immediately expect a step back for the Bills, but that's kind of the thing about head coaching changes, though. This, more than probably anything else we talk about over this offseason, is going to be extremely speculative. And everything we talk about during the offseason is extremely speculative, but at least we're talking about players. In every other episode, we're not talking about guys coaching those players. Here, we're like, what is changing one dial on the air conditioning of our car going to do to its horsepower? That's basically what we're talking about. It might be a bit more extreme than that, but long story short, yes, I agree with you, Stu. But the big one that I want to highlight, that the coach that I think is by far the biggest upgrade, I think, is Kevin Stefanski going to the Falcons. And I think he's an extremely talented coach who did things with the Cleveland Browns that, I mean, the kind of hand he was dealt there with the whole Deshaun Watson thing is just unbelievably difficult. And the problem is, he's going to the Falcons still without a real quarterback, but I think that Kevin Stefanski is going with a significantly more talented team than he is leaving. Yeah, you had Myles Garrett leaving him behind in Cleveland, and you did have some talented teams there in Cleveland, but taking in Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and whoever you choose to have playing quarterback for you, I think that Stefanski is going to elevate whoever is there, and I'm excited about that. Stu, do you share my excitement?
I do share your excitement. I was honestly kind of surprised when you said this was far and away the one you were most excited about. I was at least somewhat surprised, but I've always thought that
I have a close second, but this is number one.
Okay. I've always thought he was fairly underrated. As you said before, he was a coach of the year in the past, and he was saddled with a Cleveland Browns organization that has been dog water for decades. So for him to get out of there, you know, immediately get a head coaching job basically right away is a good sign that the rest of the league appreciates him. They see his vision and they want to add him. I don't know how much of an upgrade the Falcons are overall. I mean, they have some really good pieces. They have the ability to compete in the NFC South, but there's still a long way to go with, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers still being around. The Saints were resurgent at the end of the year. They've got a lot to do and a lot of questions at the quarterback position. I mean, Mike McDaniel couldn't take Tua to any sort of relevance after the first year or two, and Michael Penix is still, I feel, unproven, and he's now had multiple knee injuries that have ended his season. So, you know, it's an uphill climb, but he's taken a big step because he is above the Browns. So good for him. He's now just got to, I don't know, figure out this beef with Baker Mayfield, or this really one-sided beef with Baker Mayfield, whatever that's going on. But the first and last move that I'm kind of excited about would actually be Robert Saleh going to the Tennessee Titans. And I may just kind of combine Saleh's move as well as Dable's move to become the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans, because it was what I found a surprising move to get both of these guys, but also a welcome surprise. I think that there's enough established young pieces. I think Cam Ward definitely can improve and will improve very rapidly. But both of these guys, Saleh and Dable, were, again, saddled with, in my opinion, less than average situations. And they made a reasonable attempt at it. I mean, going to the Jets for Saleh, that is a tough ask for anybody. I mean, just ask Aaron Glenn right now. He's getting run out of town, and it's been one season. The Jets are the Jets. The Jets are the Browns, but green. So for him to get a chance with, again, a slightly better situation, in my opinion, I'm really looking forward to hopefully him having a good run in Tennessee. Interested to see what he will bring. And then Dable was always shining as a coordinator, not so exciting as the head coach, but he did have a reasonable run with the Giants, and now to settle back in as a coordinator again. Maybe he'll get a head coaching job here in the near future. But those two together, I'm really excited about the moves and the direction the Tennessee Titans are taking. James, what are you feeling about the Titans? Or are you just going to take us on to all the negative moves that I have opinions on?
No, I generally agree with you. I think that Robert Saleh was an underrated coach, largely because of what happened with the Jets. I don't think you could take Vince Lombardi and be successful with the New York Jets. I don't think much higher of the Titans, but I almost texted you the other day just on a Sunday just to get your thoughts. I don't remember if I actually texted you or not. I don't think I did, but I was like, are we overlooking Cam Ward? Are we just assuming he's nothing because he's with the Titans, and is he gonna emerge in year two as this transcendent guy?
No.
And I don't think that's the case, but, like, you know, getting a guy like Robert Saleh and having Brian Dable as your offensive coordinator, it makes you wonder, like, what could be, what could happen? And it is true that, like, neither of these guys has had much success as a head coach. And there's been limited success outside of that in coordinator positions, but both of those guys have been very good in spurts. So I just wonder. I still think I'm gonna, until we get through the draft, until we see who the Titans get, I think that I'm going to continue with the idea that I want nothing to do with the Tennessee Titans. But I like the names. I like the people in the building. And I like what they've got going on. But based on what you've said about the other hires, I have a feeling we're going to have very different opinions about this next guy I want to talk about. And this is a former Super Bowl winning head coach And I am thinking less about him and more about his ability to do things with the pieces that are in town. I'm very excited about John Harbaugh going to the New York Giants. And like I just prefaced, I'm less excited about John Harbaugh as I am with a proven to be competent head coach going with an exciting young core. So we've got Jackson Dart. We've got Cam Scataboo. We've got a number of exciting receivers, including Malik Nabers, of course. I think there's a lot to be done with this offense, and I think that having someone who has been there and taken even probably lesser guys and made them elite, I think that's very exciting for me as a fantasy guy. And then seeing what he did with Lamar Jackson and taking him from a project quarterback out of the draft and helping him become a multi-time MVP, that is very exciting. And I was very high on Jackson Dart to begin with. Him going into year two, I'm even more excited. I think there is a lot of good to come with this from a fantasy football perspective. So, Stu, I am really excited to hear you disagree with me. So talk
to me. I don't fully disagree with you. So I think this move out of all the others has the widest range of outcomes, because you're right. I mean, Lamar Jackson developed from something that people weren't believing in to a multi-time MVP. No Super Bowls, though. Harbaugh was in Baltimore forever. Super Bowl winning head coach. Very proven, as you said. That's awesome. But I didn't like the way that things have developed in the last probably 3-ish years, that we couldn't get success at the highest level. You have all these pieces in Baltimore, prime Lamar Jackson. You had Derrick Henry in there for the last couple of years. You had a reasonably competent wide receiver core, and Mark Andrews is the name I was trying to think of it. Perennially great tight end there for a little while. The defense would let you down occasionally, but I didn't like that we didn't get to that next level. I'm afraid of an old guard actually being an old guard, if you know what I'm saying. Like, the game passes us all by eventually. I'm not saying John Harbaugh's obsolete by any means. I mean, he was the most sought after head coaching, you know, prospect this offseason, but I'm afraid of the downward trend. And sometimes people just need a new beginning. They need a fresh start somewhere else, but I don't want him and his system to fall back into the rut of just not performing, I guess. Just the above average, but that's pretty much all we are. Like Mike Tomlin, basically. You didn't make the playoffs, the Ravens didn't make the playoffs, but you do well for the most part, but just can't get it done, basically. So I'm really excited about Jackson Dart. I'm not sure about this season. I think the Giants overall are going to be very enigmatic, because Malik Nabers is still coming off of his ligament tear. Is he going to be... He might not even be ready for week one. Is he going to be back to what he was previously, maybe over the second half of the season? Scataboo should be back, and that's great. We have to see what they do in the draft. There's been rumblings that they'd go for Jeremiah Love. It really is going to tell a little more. Time will tell a little more what we could expect from the Giants here under Harbaugh. So I hope that wasn't too much disagreeing with you. I said I was negative about pretty much everyone else. I would consider myself negative about Harbaugh. One very quick one that I want to shout out. I don't think we really need to talk about it that quickly, but Mike LaFleur to Arizona. I think I would be very excited about this in maybe 2 or 3 years. The McVay coaching tree has had some stinkers on its branches, but we've also got like names like Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur, some pretty good coaches. Liam Cohen, I think we can call a pretty decent coach. So hopefully Mike LaFleur can follow along like Matt and be good for the Arizona Cardinals, because I would like the Arizona Cardinals to be good for whatever reason. I just have a soft spot for the Cardinals. I think it was because I really liked Kyler coming out of college. But yeah, once they kind of hopefully get things hashed out, excited for him. To really be negative about one, why is Mike McCarthy still in the NFL? I thought he was done after the Packers. Why is he still around?
I think that the fact that he is going to be an NFL head coach in the year of our Lord 2026,
a travesty,
it's embarrassing. You know, like, what has he shown since 2012 that has shown to anyone that he's a competent head coach more than just deserving to be in a room, but deserving to be a head coach for a third time? It's insane to me. And the Steelers, yeah, they're an organization that is steeped in all this history, and they're steeped in all of this tradition, and they don't fire head coaches, and they like these long-term guys.
Is he a long-term guy?
Mike McCarthy's not
going to
last a year.
No way.
No. He's going to come in, they're going to win four games, and the good people of Pittsburgh are... I'm going to stop myself from saying what they're going to do to him, but it's not going to be good.
They deserve better. They deserve better.
I agree. As much as I hate the Pittsburgh Steelers, they are my second least favorite team in the NFL. That is a great fan base. That is a great organization, and you are absolutely right. They deserve better.
I don't think I knew that. We've never talked about our least favorite teams.
I'm going to assume we have the same least favorite team.
Well, honestly, look, okay. Past is
okay,
the past.
I guess
is the
we
past.
Got a conversation to have here.
Past is the past is the past. Now is not the past. I do not mind most of the Patriots.
I disagree.
I
Hard
like
disagree.
Vrabel. I like Drake May. They have players that I enjoy watching. I hate Robert Kraft, that weird shrimp little guy. Anyway, I don't hate the Patriots. I don't think they're my least favorite team.
I will never see those stupid silver helmets with that stupid G.I. Joe Transformer thingy on their helmet and not get my blood boiling. I despise the New England Patriots. And you know, I like Vrabel as a head coach, but we probably don't need to talk about the things that he's in the news for this week. I don't know if you've been aware.
Don't think
but
so.
That's not fantasy football stuff, so we're not going to talk about that. But I had a great time at my Super Bowl party this year. I was very excited to see the Patriots just get their teeth kicked in. That made me very happy.
I'm sorry. So it's news that Mike Vrabel hugged someone?
It was the interlocked fingers.
Oh, my gosh. You can't interlock fingers. That's just
you
that's
can't
sordid.
Interlock the fingers.
There are children sordid. Here. Oh, my God. Never mind. This is worse than Kraft in Miami. I think my least favorite team might be Houston. I flippin'
See,
hate
okay.
Houston.
So, we're both Colts fans. I still don't respect any other teams in the AFC South enough to hate them. I
guess.
In my brain, in my weird little brain, Peyton and Andrew and Reggie and Marvin and all those guys are still coming out of that tunnel, and we're still going to go 6-0 against the AFC South and hang 40 on all of them. I know that hasn't happened for a long time, but that's where my brain is. And I do not respect those other teams. And from a fantasy football standpoint, that has mostly been correct since those guys have retired. Mm-hmm. So... yeah.
If anyone's keeping track, my second least favorite is the Browns. Anyway, you had just mentioned your second
really?
Least favorite. The Browns are a travesty.
My second,
and by every metric.
Enough to be hateable, though?
Yes, I hate the Browns. I hate Haslam. I hate what they do. I in my teens, I took like a half a season to kind of root for them. It was after they went like 0-16. And then the next season, I was like, come on, I just like want you guys to succeed. And then I started paying more attention to them, and I was like, whoa, I don't want you to succeed. So.
It because of Deshaun Watson.
It's not just because of Deshaun mostly. Watson. There are plenty of less than reputable people in the NFL. He's just one of the more well-paid ones.
Okay. This is kind
it's
of gotten
derailed, yeah.
off of what we were trying to do, and we are at our 30-minute
point. This is what happens when we drink beer during the episodes. We missed that last year.
Yeah, that's true. Do we want to talk about the offensive coordinators, or do we want to do an FAQ and be done?
I at least want to bring up the name Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator of the Super Bowl champion Seahawks, going to helm the Raiders with Bowers, with Genty, with Fernando Mendoza, with a revamped offensive line. Very excited for the Raiders. Don't think it'll be this year, but overall, very excited for the Raiders. I think they will be very fantasy relevant. I'm a big fan of what Cubes did in Seattle. I mean, come on. I spent all last offseason doubting the Sam Darnold leaving Minnesota to go to Seattle, and then they immediately win a Super Bowl. I'm done doubting.
I agree that's a great hire. I don't know that I'm immediately going to go in on them being extremely fantasy relevant to begin with. Like, Genty will be. Bowers should be.
Bowers will be. Mendoza will not be. Bowers will be. Genty should be if we temper our expectations.
Yeah. All right. Just real quick, because we are behind schedule, I'm going to talk about I'm just going to list a few of the big coordinator changes. First, for the Cardinals, obviously they got a new head coach in Mike LaFleur. Coming with them is Nathaniel Hackett, who we are familiar with his exploits elsewhere. The Chargers, with Jim Harbaugh still at the helm there, Mike McDaniel coming over from the Dolphins. I'm kind of excited about that one. The Giants, with Harbaugh came Matt Nagy. That one a little surprising to me. The Jets hired Frank Reich. I expect nothing. I don't know if you expect anything.
I expect Aaron Glenn to get fired midseason and Frank Reich to just coast into the offseason and then get fired. Yep.
Absolutely. And then for the Chiefs, they brought back Eric Bieniemy for another tour of duty there. Since winning the Super Bowl with the Chiefs before, he has kind of bounced around, achieving basically nothing. But, you know, play the hits. The Detroit Lions bring in Drew Petzing, who was offensive coordinator for the Cardinals. Not a great look after what happened last year, but Drew Petzing is a guy who's gotten a little bit of shine across the league, so I'd like to see what he can do with a competent organization. Do I want to call the Lions a competent organization?
They're at least halfway competent.
Recently competent? We'll start with that. And then we've talked about Brian Daboll with the Titans, but Sean Mannion being hired for the Philadelphia Eagles, coming over from the Packers. I think the Eagles were probably, outside of maybe the Lions, were probably the team who we thought needed a new offensive coordinator, with the biggest drop-off after their OC moving to a head coaching position. So I hope to see the Eagles bounce back. I expect to see Saquon Barkley thrive in the Sean Mannion.
Do you?
Mannion offense. I do. I still am a big Saquon believer.
You will never not be a Saquon believer.
I was a believer from day one. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's wrap this thing up. Stu, last time I asked you an FAQ. How about you hit me with one, and then we'll wrap this up.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love... I've had one that I've been stewing on, no pun intended, for a little while. What, James, why is it that you have not responded to my proposal that we do Fantasy Footbeer Runs a Half Marathon?
Oh, this isn't even from the list.
The fans are asking. The fans are wondering.
Okay. Fantasy Footbeer, the half marathon. Here are my thoughts on that. One, to answer your original question, why have I not responded to that request? Because I physically cannot run a half marathon.
Yet.
I love the growth mindset there. But to elaborate on that, to further explain, I am getting back into working out. For about a month now, I have been swimming a few times a week, and I'm getting stronger. I'm getting back into my body. We're doing good things, but swimming and running are different things. And running is also, Stu, as I know you are aware, not fun.
It's hard.
It is hard, and it is not an enjoyable thing to do. And that's why every time I try to do it, I think, man, this is not fun. I do not like doing this. So that is why. However, I am more than willing to compete in a 2-4-6-8 challenge that I will be at some point taking part in this upcoming summer. So hopefully that answers your questions, Stu. Does it?
I guess. I mean, you wouldn't have to place well. You just have to keep pace with me. And let's be honest, I have not been swimming for a month. Anyway, for anyone who's
there's no swimming in half marathons.
That's fair. But anyone who's actually confused, a friend of ours is with his wife training to run a half marathon, and he wants other people to join them. This would be in September, and I was like, hey, why don't we do it? Every time we need to slow down, we go on Instagram Live at Fantasy Footbeer on that platform, if you ever want to reach out to us. And we have to go on Instagram Live, answer frequently asked questions, talk about random people as we're huffing and puffing and dying and lying on the ground. I thought it would be a great time. It also kind of just like appeals to me to see if I could do it, to train myself to actually try and accomplish something for once in 30 years. That's physical. Anyway, so it's cool. It's fine. I just wanted to trap you a little bit on the air. See if I can get an answer.
Stu, what are you talking about accomplishing something? You graduated from medical school.
No, I'm a physical.
You are a literal doctor.
I added that at the end. Physical, James. I haven't done sports since I rode the bench for 4 years in high school for baseball.
Well, come play golf with me. You'd be good at golf.
I am so bad at golf. Everyone wants to play golf, and I'm like, I can't hit this tiny little ball. It's too far away from me.
You're going to play golf with me this summer. And we are also getting a little bit over our schedule. So, Stu, hit the good people of Fantasy Footbeer listener kingdom.
Right.
Something.
Yeah.
With your closing thoughts for the evening.
If ever you want to try your hand at changing James's mind and making us run for about 13.1, is it 13.1? No, it's 13.3?
I think it's 13.1.
Okay, that's even better than 13.3. We can handle that easily. If you want to pressure him into doing that, you can go and reach out to us on our socials, on X and on Instagram, as previously mentioned, Fantasy Footbeer on both platforms. We do also take beer requests or questions at our Gmail, fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. Just as a passing note, I do really like this beer. I'm not even through it, which is crazy. So,
really?
Yeah, I'm only like halfway through it, so I've got a little bit of time. Got to make some dinner here now that it's 9:30 p.m., but maybe we'll get on some Minecraft later, drink the rest of the beer, have a good time. But other than that, James, why don't you take us home for the evening?
All right. Thank you, Stu, and thank you to all of our listeners here again. We very much enjoy recording these for you, and we love it when you communicate with us about your feelings about these episodes. If you want to reach out to us on our socials, we are on Instagram, we are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Amazon and all that good stuff. We are in written form on fantasyfootbeer.com for blogs. And if you like hearing Indy the dog squeaking his toys and barking in the background, he likes those shout-outs too. And what's Pixel doing?
Pixel is up in her cat tree just next to me. She's always at the very, very top because she likes to lord down over us. That but she's quiet. She's sleeping. Right.
No, so no Pixel contributions to the episode tonight?
Not really. She was on my lap a little bit before we hit record and then jumped down to go take her nap.
All right. Then, to close us out, for Dr. Michael Stewart and not tonight for Pixel the Cat, for Indian Dog, I'm James Kemp. Good night and bye.